Welcome, Kia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving, so I'm hoping that I won't lose you guys at all. But just so you know,
Well, be safe. Are you going to be driving the whole call?
Probably about half of it.
Okay. So, and who else is on the line?
This is Hannah.
Hi, Anna. Welcome back to the world of technology.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, we miss you when you're not here. I'm so sorry it's been a struggle.
It's an unfortunate thing. We can't do anything. Santorini suffers from good internet connection.
Right. Have you been able to... I'm just curious if you were able to access the recordings okay.
I actually haven't done anything. I have not heard anything, but I'm planning on catching up as soon as possible.
Okay.
But it's been crazy coming back, trying to catch up with life in general. I've been gone for way too long.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we're glad you're here today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you, Minx?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. That was a heavy sigh.
I was in the middle of yawning.
Yes, I noticed.
I just had to answer while yawning, that's all.
Okay. Well, the only person I heard from was Jenny, that she was feeling challenged to be on the call because of her training, and an assistant wasn't sure that she was going to be there, so she may or may not be with us. And let's give Cynthia, Nikki, and Mel just a couple minutes to join us because we're about a minute early.
Okay. How's things going with you, Sasha?
They're going really well. I've been house-sitting. I'm house-sitting for another week, and I'm hoping by the time I get back that the outside of my condo will be just as repaired as the inside. So it's like I haven't slept in my home in about 6 weeks. It's really weird.
It is. Must be so strange.
Well, I'm up at this gorgeous mountain retreat and with two just sweethearts of animals, a kitty and a doggy, and... So it's nice. I'm quiet and relaxed, and thanks for always asking. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Welcome, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great.
Good. We're just waiting for a couple more people to join us, okay?
Okay.
Cynthia, did you get my email? It's Minx.
From last week?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry that I haven't responded, but I'm all for that, so I'm pretty excited about doing that.
Okay, good. I wonder if it went through or not.
It did. Life has been a bit messy lately. It's going to calm down any day now.
Sasha, is this normal? Like, all of us, our lives are like so.
I think this class
in a lot of, it just seems like there's so much going on for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I know. My last group, actually two people were teachers, but it was a smaller group, and there didn't seem to be as much, not conflict, but just... I better not lose my words here. I've got to be talking for the next hour and a half. Just overlap. Welcome, Mel.
Hi.
Anyway, just to finish my sentence, Mercury is about to go into retrograde very soon, and I was talking to a teacher who was in my class yesterday, and she said, is anything up? And I'm like, Oh, no, I'm just tired. And she knows me so well. It was a great class, but she knows me so well. I'm like, oh, my gosh, did I interfere with your practice? And she said, no, of course not. I just love you, and I just want to know, are you okay? And then she went into the point being that I don't know a lot about astrological stuff and Mercury, and I'm still learning. But she said, Aries, something is bumping up against something. So it's this time of tumultuous change and everything. So maybe that's collectively what this group is feeling. if you believe that stuff, I mean, you know, that could be esoteric. I don't know, but
I studied Vedic astrology for many, many, many years with a lineage holder, so I do believe that those things influence us.
Did I explain that correctly?
It was.
All right, maybe that's not a question to be answered right now.
The essence
All right,
was
anyway. The essence was there. Okay, well, it looks like we have everyone that's supposed to be here on the call. So thank you guys for being prompt. And who would like to ground us to begin the session? Is there anyone that hasn't done it yet that is willing to step in?
Well, Sasha, this is Mel. I have not done it. One of the reasons that I'm always in the car, because I'm transitioning. So I pick up my children right after we're finished. So I'm driving right now, and I don't think it's probably an ideal.
I agree. So somebody that's not driving, I know Kia's driving as well. And there's a barking dog. Maybe the dog wants to do it. She's grounding us.
I feel grounded.
Oh, I forgot about Nikki. I was waiting for Nikki. Okay, well, we're still going to get started. All right, who wants to do this for us? Cynthia, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is this something you want to try or do?
I'm a bit intimidated to try because all of these seasoned yogis and yoga teachers, so it's a bit intimidating for me to try.
But that's a great place to step in because these yogis are so non-judgmental, so supportive, so loving. And as you grow as a teacher, I think that this is one of the best things you can do to step into that. But this is not mandatory. So if you say no, that's cool.
We support you, Tim.
Okay, well, I guess I have to now.
Thanks, Ray.
All right. So if everyone could put their phone on mute for a second. So find your seat. If you're driving, just sit comfortably, but pay attention. Close your eyes. Allow your breath to even out. Find a straight spine and feel grounded in your seat. Inhale and take a big exhale and just let it all out. Allow your shoulders to fall down, your shoulder blades to fall down your back. Allow your belly to relax. Take a really big inhale. Exhale. Do do that one more time. A really big inhale. This time exhale loud, allowing all the air to come out, drawing in the belly, and relax. Slowly open your eyes.
Wow. That was awesome.
That was great.
That was so great. And you know what? It's all about the breath. It's just amazing when we begin to focus on our breath, everything around us tends to still. So thank you. That was very courageous and very just exactly what we needed. So I really appreciate it, Cynthia. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Happy Thursday. We are in week 9. It's going by quickly. I just wanted to let you know that on week 11, after that call, I will be sending out a final exam. I didn't know if you knew about a final exam. It's not a pass or fail, but it's just to, everything's done online. It's just to get a sense for me, to get a sense that you've got a grasp on this material. And it's really short. It's like a page and a half. So no need to stress about anything. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And like I said, everything's done online through Monkey Survey. So we'll look forward to that. And as we always do, I'd like to do a check-in with everyone. And this week, I would like for you to share a win. One action challenge from the yoga supplement. We really haven't shared much in that document. And then also, if you were able to share your UBS statement with a stranger. Who would like to start us off? And you might be on mute if you're trying to talk.
Okay, guys, this is Mel.
Hi, Mel. Thanks.
Hi. let me see. A win. I feel like I've had a fair amount of wins, even as simple as I've had a lot of resistance to just showing up in my life, just showing up to do all the things that I have agreed to do, when I actually have shown up and done them, which I felt like a win. Also, what I've been working on in my goals is building a set of getting what I teach prenatal. Getting into form, written down form. I've actually done that, and Kia has been very helpful. And you guys have been very helpful in that. So I actually have done that, so that's a big win. And the videos that I was planning to shoot, we're shooting this weekend, is set up. So that's a big win. Sharing my statement, I didn't move forward with it. I didn't write it. I think I'm having resistance on two levels of it. One, just time. And the other feeling that I'm not quite at the place where I feel like I'm going to be going out and pulling people in to coach them. Like I'm coaching 8 people right now, but they're my mentees. so I'm kind of on a hold on that. And I hope you're not mad at me.
did I just understand you correctly? You hope I'm not mad at you?
Yeah, that's my good girl, Catholic girl.
Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? Really?
That's my Catholic girl, yeah.
Okay. Of course not. This is an adult learning environment. You know, these are just resources for you to use to continue to grow on your path. And it's, you know, there for your doing or not. So thank you very much for sharing. Who has a dog in the background?
Oh, that might be me. Hold on.
Who's me? Okay, so whoever is not on mute, would someone else? Awesome. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, thank you. Sorry I'm late.
No worries. We are just going around and doing a check-in, a win, one action challenge from the yoga supplement on page 10, and if you shared your UBS statement with a stranger. UBS, I don't have to say statement. That's repetitive. Okay, who would like to go next?
This is Cynthia. I'll go.
Thank you.
So a win for me this week is I reached out to a senior VP at my work. She's one of the only senior VPs that are female at my location. I work for Amex, so, of course, it's huge, and we have other female leaders in other states, but not at my location. So I reached out to her to talk about some of the challenges I've been having with the reorg that has impacted my job. And she was so excited that I reached out to her, and she is so very excited to bring me onto her team. And we brainstormed and had a great conversation. And she's, you know, I was really nervous going into it, like, you know, I'm approaching this, you know, VP, and she's the only female, so it seems like I have an agenda, which I did, but I wanted it to go smooth. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to grab you up quickly and take you before someone else knows you're unhappy. And so that was just a huge relief for me.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was big. That was big. Okay, so the challenge from page 10. I did think about, so I read page 10, and the off the mat into the life action challenge, next time you find yourself giving advice or making a correction, ask, am I building confidence or competence? That was really, really interesting for me, and I never really separated the two. I mean, you do, but you don't. And so I really started looking at when I talk to people exactly what, you know, when they ask for advice or want to talk, which seems to happen on a daily basis, exactly what I was doing there. So that was a really interesting experience. Mm-hmm. And I think I always lean toward confidence when I'm talking to someone, because it's nice to boost someone's confidence, and they kind of build their own competence based on that. So that was an interesting experience. The UB, I did share my UB with several folks, actually, in conversations, and I just told them my statement as, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing in class, and it was at random. And they seemed to be really taken by it. And each person said, ooh, you know, tell me more, or, oh, my gosh, what is that about? So that was really nice.
Wow. That's fantastic on all three accounts. Do you mind sharing your UB statement?
Mm-hmm. I didn't change it too much from last time. I thought I'd just go with it. So it's I coach women who want to live an empowered life through meditation, movement, and self-care.
Right. I just didn't remember it, and I hadn't written it down. That's awesome. That's really, really awesome. And I'm just curious. It seemed like to me what a hit that I got was a parallel between you being hesitant about stepping into doing the grounding for us to start our session, and maybe the same feelings, emotions coming up when you had to step into reaching out to the boss, you know, to tell her about your anxiety over the reorg. And from both came some beautiful gems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just going forward, you know, just becoming aware of how those feelings may hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe drawing on the experiences of those outcomes that have been so more of a boost for you to keep your confidence and competence up.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Who's next?
Sasha, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, this is Anna. Hello, everybody. A big win for me this week is that I was able to complete the 200 hours yoga works teacher training in a very intensive format, which is 21 days. And I did it all by myself, so that was a very big accomplishment for me. Always I had somebody assisting, or I was an assistant to a teacher, so this is the first time I completed it all by myself. So I was very, very, very proud of myself on that one.
Yes, that's awesome.
The challenge has been to come back to real life, leaving Santorini and coming back to the city. And Santorini actually is an island, a Greek island. And
so
I came
Anna,
back last.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the challenge this week is around one of the action challenges.
Yeah,
on
I did
page
right,
10.
Right, I did read it right now, and what I read it. I haven't read any of the material, but I just read the action challenge.
Okay.
And what it has been interesting for me is that I realized that the last few days of the training, the people had a really hard time, the students too, with the practicum that we actually do as a final exam at the end of the training. And we talked a little bit about body language and how we position ourselves and all that good stuff. And one of the students said that, you know, I really feel really crappy about doing this, getting in front of all the people and teaching. And she kind of, her body went into like a little ball and when she was saying that. So it was interesting because I said, okay, what don't you put your arms out, put it around your waist and kind of think that you're bigger than this. So it was an interesting moment for me because I felt that I was giving her confidence to believe, even if she wasn't feeling anything at that moment. But she actually put her arms around her waist and she did it. And it was challenging for her. I can see it. But at the same time, she was kind of overcome it. And that was very obvious for me that she gathered that confidence that, from the suggestion I gave her. So that was very a good thing for me to see. I don't know if that's in the term.
That's great. It's perfect. And congratulations. That's a huge undertaking. 21 days. And I'm sure everyone there benefited from your wisdom and experience. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, who's next?
I can go. It's Minx.
Thanks, Minx.
I was trying to think about what my wins are this week, specifically. And, you know, one is lots more sleep, which, you know, just helps everything. It's the thing that kept coming into my mind. It's like, oh, I'm so happy I got to sleep a lot. And just on a very basic level, it was good. You know, which has been a shift because of the, you know, being hyper-triggered and so sympathetic with all the dog stuff. It took a while for my system to settle down for sleep. You know, and as a, I believe as a result of two things, a sleep and kind of the phrase that came to mind for me was, you know, look at things from the angle of, you know, bite off the amount you can chew well. And so I just feel much more mobilized around all my work, you know, just taking on, you know, a little bit that I know I can do really well and just trusting that the rest will fall into place piece by piece, bite by bite. And so that feels really relaxed and very productive, actually. The action challenge, So I was also like Cynthia, in the reflection of confidence and competence, that last bullet point there on page 10. And I was thinking about the people in my life who have simultaneously developed both confidence and competence, and it's, helped me find that. And it's always interesting because maybe it's other people, but for my personality structure, if someone's just bolstering my confidence without building competence, I don't really value it very much. It just sounds like a bunch of empty words, like if someone's just cheerleading me, but there's nothing else behind it. And so this was a great pairing to think about, well, how do you get somebody into their own skill level and help them recognize confidence around that? And my current boss, Amber, in this region is very good at that. She'll always, give you the positive, emotional background and then help you with next steps and provide structure. And then when it's done, she'll, acknowledge what's good. So it's very, very nice accountability with the right amount of, positive emotional support. So I really appreciate that from her. Makes the struggle piece a little less present, actually, because I've had others who, in this weird, not as way, still build my confidence and competence, but, with the struggle level was different.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that was very interesting journey down various, bosses and teachers and thinking about that and thinking about how to keep moving forward with that in my various roles on my end to help others find that. So that was a great one. I liked it. The UBS, well, honestly, I just didn't really interact with any strangers.
You were sleeping the whole time.
I tried in one of my dreams,
With one of the angels.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just the efficiency of life. It's like basically everyone I saw I knew. And mostly, interactions weren't anything around this that it seemed natural to slip that in there without it being really contrived.
Well, it's just something to, again, remain aware of and keep working on just building that muscle so that you guys, all of you, can become more confident and competent with your UB statement.
Yeah, I will say, like, knowing what it was just helped me on other levels in my mental organization around things. So it was very helpful. I just didn't happen to share it verbally with anyone.
Well, I'm really glad to hear the insight that you guys come up with, especially around the action challenges and how those sort of elicit you to think in a different way to create the skill set around some things and how you interact with people and then how you recognize people interacting with you. So great job, just great insight with that piece. And I'm glad you're resting. All right, Kia or Nikki, who would like to go next?
I can go next.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Do you want me to start with the challenge, the action challenge?
You can go in whichever order you would like.
Okay. So describe a time when someone helped you build confidence and competence. Did you struggle? And I was actually, of course, when I'm reading about yoga, I was taken back to the time when I was asked to teach a teacher training, to lead a teacher training, and I didn't feel confident or competent to do the teacher training at the point when I was asked. And I just remember I had this woman, her name was Kim Hagel, or Hagley, I can't even remember how to say her name, but Kim. And I remember she really helped me because what she kind of did and what I think we do in yoga is we explain that we have this innate knowledge in our body and that we have this innate wisdom. And actually, now that I think about it, that's kind of what we're teaching in, as we're a mentor or a coach, that we have all the answers within us. And what she kind of explained to me at that point was, she's like, you have everything already. It's just learning to deliver what you have. And in her telling me that I already had everything that I needed It helped me to build confidence and to feel competent to move forward. And, yeah, it helped me kind of let go of that fear. And so it created kind of almost like, so it kind of created a safety net for me where it felt like, I already have this. Like, I'm not going to fall, right? Mm-hmm. I just have to catch myself and find where the answer is within me so that I can go forward. So that was what it made me think of. And then, I was trying to think so hard as everyone else was speaking about, like, wins I had during my week as well. And I don't feel like I had any wins this week. I feel like I had a lot of setbacks this week. But I did get my blood work done, and I did go to the doctor, which I've been completely avoiding. And I did find out I have a little bit of a thyroid problem and an eye problem. But I stopped, like, avoiding it, and I actually did it. So I guess that could be my win, that I actually went to the doctor. I actually got my blood work done, and I went to the doctor. And then my UBS. Okay, so mine, I actually realized how cheesy it was when I shared it with someone else. So I was at the playground, and I'm like, I help my students create a body they love. And I'm like, oh, that is so awful. So I thought it was so cool until I actually said it to someone, and then I'm like, that was horrible. So then I was talking to, I was waiting for to pick up my son, and I was talking to this woman, and she was talking about how I'm always in my workout clothes. And she's like, so what do you do? Because you're always in workout clothes. And I said, well, I'm actually a yoga teacher, and I moved from California. I used to teach all the time. And then she's like, what do you do? So, of course, I'm like, oh, she did just ask me what I do. So after that conversation is when I actually, like, got in the car, and I kind of wrote this down, because this was it was started really long, but this is what I kind of whittled it down to. So I didn't share it with her, but it helped me come back. I did share the other one that was awful, and that was kind of an awkward situation. But this one, so this is the one I created that I think is better, which is because it came out, like, it felt more natural if I were to share it. I help people get in touch with their bodies, and I teach them how the mind-body connection can not only create a body they love, but a life they love. Because what I basically said was, because she's like, oh, you teach yoga? And I'm like, well, I kind of do more than that. And I said that. Like, I help people get back in touch with their bodies because, you know, we start off really connected and we lose that connection. So it was a more authentic feel for me because that's how I present it when I'm just talking. So anyways, that was my experience this week.
That's awesome, Nikki. And that feels so much more authentic to me as well. And it's something that's a work in progress. And you're the ones that are going to be sharing this with other people. So you have to feel really grounded and embracing this statement, so to speak, so that you can speak about it from your heart center and know and believe every word that you're saying. Because if there's any hesitation on your part, you know, the people that you're speaking to are going to sense that. So again, it's building that muscle, and I'm really proud of you for taking care of your health issues and also bringing back to the Action Challenge the beautiful way that this work mirrors yoga, in knowing that the client, the student, is creative, resourceful, and whole and has the answers within them. So as Dr. Wayne Dyer likes to say, we all have the anchor of the universe within us. All right. Thank you, Nikki. Kia? Are you with us? Maybe she's on mute.
There we are. Here I am. I can't talk right now.
Okay.
Can I just listen?
You can, and thanks for letting us know. So you can go back on mute. And all right, thank you everyone for sharing. So as we transition into our agenda for this week, I'm curious, Jenny did write me back that she had explored a little bit about on Kelly McGonigal and the website I sent her, who does amazing, brilliant work out at Stanford with neuroscience and how it affects, how meditation, yoga, mindfulness training affects the brain. I'm just curious, if anyone had a chance to peruse her website and if they had any thoughts around that as we move into the material from today, for today.
I haven't perused her website, but I do know Kelly personally.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's very, you know, many-faceted woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I've mostly, really? You know, seen her present at the conferences and, you know, hung out and had meals, and so
awesome. Well, she is a brilliant speaker and on every level, and I just want to preface our conversation going forward by telling you that I am still growing and finding my edge here and learning about neuroscience. I find it quite fascinating, but I don't have this huge background in neuroscience at all. But I find it so brilliant how the mind works and how all this mindfulness that we bring into our lives that we practice on a daily basis really affects changes in the brain. So having said that, let's turn to page 153 in our books, unless you're driving. And I'm just curious if anyone in our group has any experience with the role of the mind and brain, just in terms of how people learn and how people set up barriers to change, and just anything that, because I'm going to bring all of these sections back into the yoga room, into the yoga studio. But does anyone have a background in neuroscience or psychology that has studied some of this?
Not any formal background.
Okay. Anyone else?
No, not me, but I do love the field.
Yeah. Mm. Good to read in.
Yes, absolutely. So on page 153, it talks about the role of the mind. And Anna, if you don't mind, could you please read that first paragraph for us?
Sure. The challenge of change, we struggle to embrace change.
Actually, down halfway where the heading says role of the mind. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
Part of the answer to why we resist change is in our minds. We repeat the same story because it's our comfort zone, secure and predictable. A comfort zone might be limiting or uncomfortable, but it's familiar, a default model. We repeat because we know how it is, how it will turn out. That creates the illusion of effectiveness.
Oh, great. Great. I'll stop you there. I'll stop you there.
Okay.
And thank you. I'm hopeful that you could maybe share with the group an experience in the yoga studio that reflects this, people being very resistant to change, to trying new things, because they are more comfortable in the familiar places.
Well, it's interesting. Recently, I had a student that he's been coming to my class the past month, and I've been gone for 3 weeks, and then I came back, and he came to my classes the past few days. So he, the first few times I did see him, I was suggesting the correct alignment in Warrior Two, which, you know, bringing his knee and his ankle in one line, and he was resisting to bring his foot forward. Now, I told him a couple of times, and then I made sure I made an elaborate speech about why we need the alignment and why we need that particular alignment in our body, and I kind of spoke to the whole class and made a big deal of it. At the end of yesterday's class, he actually, after I repeatedly corrected him, he said, please leave me alone. I don't want to do it. And it was very interesting to me to see so much resistance in something that he obviously learn to do it a different way, even if he got the proper explanation and he got the why and the opportunity to change. But he was so comfortable in what he knew that he didn't want to change. But it was very interesting. At the end of the class, he came up to me and he apologized, talking to me like this in the class. And then he said, I don't know if I will change this particular alignment, but I will at least try. So since you're making such a big deal of it. So this is when I realized how hard it is for people to change what they know and they're familiar, even mm-hmm. if it's so simple as it's just a simple little thing about alignment, let alone beliefs and values and other habits that we develop. So that's a big story, but that's what happened.
and that's a brilliant story, and it's an amazing example, just completely tied into what we're talking about here. And there's always this pull of the old and the fear of the new. So people really want to and need to feel safe. It's when they don't feel safe that they're resistant to change. So this is this whole big process that goes on with our mind and our brain, which we'll get into in a moment. But I love that example. That's terrific, and I'm really glad he apologized. So moving on to role of the brain, Nikki, if you could read beginning like the third paragraph down to think creatively and then read through the last paragraph as well.
Okay. To think creatively, new neural pathways must be developed outside the cycle of experience. Stimulation for the new insight is a circumstance where the brain can't predict what will happen next. The catalyst for insight is a novel stimulus, new information or new content. This juncture, where when your mind and your brain both react to leaving the familiar and engage new behavior, is the most powerful and productive focus of understanding in the ongoing process of coaching. The uncertainty of this newness can be read as evidence not to proceed, as intuition of the wrong choice, or as a signpost of change and progress. Discomfort and uncertainty.
No, that's good. That's good. We're good there. So I want you to triple star that last paragraph on page 154 where it starts this juncture. That is the place where it's the most powerful and productive, okay, when your mind and brain both react to leaving the familiar and engaging in new behavior. So the change is not going to happen when you're still in the old story. You can't just write a new ending to the same story. You actually have to engage in new behavior, which will then continue on your path forward to changing the story, designing the story differently. And I just want to be sure that that makes sense because this is, again, this is more coming from the neuroscience level, but you don't have to be a neuroscientist to be able to apply these tools and principles, but I feel like understanding some of the high-level concepts that you can apply and then continuing to learn more if that's, you know, where you want to go with this. But I just wanted to touch on it on a higher level here. Any questions about the role of the mind or the role of the brain?
I actually do have a question because this is really interesting. I was actually talking about this yesterday about repeating the same story. And, I know my story. I finally recognize my story, and I watch myself continually repeat it. Mm-hmm. What I'm wondering is when you're actually coaching without becoming a therapist, how do you bring up the story you watch them repeating? Does that make sense?
Of course. Yeah. And that's a great question. And I'm going to throw it back at you because that's what good coaches do.
That's not fair.
It's totally fair. So if I'm just going to propose the scenario to you, Nikki, you know, if you're working with a client and they're constantly repeating the story with the tools that you've learned over the last 8 weeks, what are some ways that would help facilitate the client to take an inward look at what they're saying, how they're behaving, and to help collaboratively create a shift?
In my inexperience, I probably would ask them if they recognize
I'm sorry, Nikki, we were interrupted. Could you start that sentence again?
Sure. I said I probably would ask them if they see a pattern in their experience, or yeah, I guess it would be depend on how, where I saw it, if it was like a work cycle or if it was a life cycle or both. I'd probably say, do you feel like there's a pattern in the way that things play out in your life? And they'd probably start there and see. I think the place that I'm coming from too is, you know, I took a little bit of psychology and in college, and I remember, you know, one of the things that stuck with me was people can't always see their pattern while they're in it, and even if you point that to them, if they're not ready to see it, they won't. And so, without becoming this like, I don't know, I guess that would be the only way without trying to point out the pattern was to get them to see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the ways that you just suggested is great, just to bring attention and awareness to that. And that could be, you know, your aha moment if session after session your client continues to feel stuck or is not able to move to where they say they want to move to. It's really great to remind them of the goals that they have, the dreams that they have, where they want to go towards. And, you know, those powerful questions really do engage the client in thinking a little bit deeper and a little bit differently. Those powerful questions, not the yes and no, the open-ended. You know, where in your life have you seen this before, the same pattern? What's it going to take for you to step out of your comfort zone and try something new? I mean, the litany of questions that you can ask is so long. So, again, just knowing your client and being fully engaged with them and staying true to their agenda, and then using the tools, the powerful questions, the listening, the brainstorming, all of those skills to continue moving them forward. And don't put a time frame on it. It's, you know, they will change whenever they're ready or they won't. But your job as a coach is to help facilitate that change with their agenda.
Okay.
Helpful?
Yes, in that I like that you said that there's no time frame. It's not like I have to get them to see their issue in one session. So it may be a process.
Right. It's not a good way to earn money.
That's true.
I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Awesome. Let's now turn. So, you know, this basic inquiries for story evaluation of clients, page 157 through 159. Just, if you haven't already, just do that on your own, just to see what comes up for you. And then we'll turn to page 161. Mel and Keir driving. So, Minx, would you please read the first paragraph on page 161, The Psychology of Change?
Starting with, we often repeat behavior?
Correct.
Okay. We often repeat behavior that doesn't work, often doing it harder and expecting a different result. It's always good fun. Why is repetition so compelling to intelligent people, even though it is so illogical? Why is it not obvious that trying to exit an old story by simply writing a better ending only... Why is it not obvious that trying to exit an old story by simply writing a better ending only recreates the same story and ensures that, what? Did I just tell you the jump lines? And ensures that
someone
remains. Okay. Why don't we say that 1,000 better endings to an old story doesn't create a new story? That too often we see ourselves as the victims of the stories that we author and the feelings we create.
Great. Thank you. I'm going to pause you there. What speaks to you about that paragraph? I mean, can you relate to it either on a personal level or on a professional level with your students?
On every level, you know. To me, it's the story of attachment and familiarity.
Say more about that.
So, you know, people get, you know, whatever is familiar, you can be very attached to, and so you try to keep it and maybe shift the minimal amount so you can sort of keep it and have it without having to do anything different. Maybe this, you know, still get a different end, you know. You know, like people want to maintain, well, if we can think of the story that Anna told earlier about the warrior too, I think it was, and you know, perhaps that gentleman had some attachment to, I don't know, he learned it that way, he felt he mastered it that way, that was comfortable to him, he didn't want his story challenged. And so, you know, maybe he in his mind would, you know, have some story at the end of it all, like, you know, I'm going to have a great practice, and that, you know, he probably feels something in his knee, I would guess, but, you know, maybe he rewrites the ending to it feels good.
But he's still out of alignment, right?
Yeah. And,
yeah.
You know, or you see it with people all the time in relationships that are so obviously damaging. Like, maybe if I just stay in this relationship but relate to it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So many,
you know,
so many
goes on and on,
right?
Huh?
So many examples, right?
It's endless. This is like the story of human suffering.
Wow. Yes. And so I like to look at this like getting your clients or your students into action and creating possibility thinking. So, Nikki, this actually speaks to your previous question about when people are in their same story. It's like, how can we get them to shift into possibility thinking? And, again, that is exemplified by using you can get to that place by using the tools that I shared with Nikki before. But it just really creates a ton of anxiety when we're in new territory or we're trying to develop a new story or we're trying to master an asana, right? We see everyone in the room going into birds of paradise, yet we can't get our balance to come up on one leg. So it's like we're going to stay in our comfort zone rather than looking foolish by potentially falling out of the asana. And then the ego gets involved. It's like everybody's watching me. Well, the reality is everyone is in their own little space watching themselves. So, it's interesting to consider. So, again, just a reminder that this is where the possibility thinking comes in. All right. Let's turn to any questions on that. Let's turn to page 163, and I'm just going to read because it skips around a little bit. So, the neuroscience of change, and part of the answer to why change is difficult lies in the brain's preference and capacity for creating habits. In the very last sentence of that second paragraph, or this paragraph, the brain always strives for energetic economy, choosing first to transform experience as quickly as possible to habit by building new neurons and networks as the default mode. So can anyone speak to creating new neural pathways in the brain as far as how it can show up or something you can offer to your students on the mat? Like, what would be an example of something someone could do? I use it all the time in my class to shift how they habitually do something. And I'm talking specifically the physical piece.
Hi, guys. It's Mel. By consistently offering a pause or a break, I find is helpful. And then going to the breath, so that would be step two. But to actually stop action is something that I find helpful.
So can you share more, like when do you actually do that?
Well, in my life, constantly in teaching the asana, I'll add pauses where there might not generally be a pause, like, you know, vinyasa or whatnot. So I'll stop the action cycle and then either realign it or take them out or hold it.
Great. Do you find that's effective?
I have. I found it. And then the offering something else to do, I find is really, really helpful in that. So it's like, okay, we're going to pause this, but here's the other offering. The offering is inhale or, you know, whatever the offering is. So something positive to do in its replacement.
Great. Before I share mine, I'll ask if anyone else has an example that they'd like to share.
It's Nikki, and I actually wanted to share something because you were asking about what we knew about neuroscience, and I don't know if you guys have heard of the book Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, but it is literally about changing patterns in your brain, and my husband actually went, it was for ADD, he went, him and his brother both went and did this thing where they put electrodes on your head and they, you know, they took a brain scan and then they put electrodes on your head and you literally had to change your thinking to get if this object that he did with fish to jump in a pond. And as soon as he lost his focus, the fish stopped jumping and, you know, the game died. And he literally had to try to create points. And this doctor is basically saying that, you know, we've always known that there's patterns. We say there's patterns. We have a pattern. But he says literally there's patterns in our brain and we are changing it. And so when I think of the asana part, I remember when he was going through this, they would try to get him to approach things in a different way. And so, for example, I'm thinking, you know, I always taught Trikonasana from the top down, meaning, you know, we're standing, we shift the hips, we lean over, we put the hand down, we reach up. And I remember taking an Anyasara class, and one of the teachers taught it from the bottom, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, we shifted our legs, then we put the hand, then, you know, and then we moved up. Mm-hmm. And so I think also approaching an asana from the complete opposite way or from a new way, mm-hmm. it helps break the pattern of the way that you, even the way you enter Bakasana or anything like that. Every time that I have had a breakthrough, it is because a teacher has introduced an asana in a completely different way than the way I was constantly attempting. So I think that's another way.
That's incredible. And that's really a cool story about your husband. What I tend to do physically in when I teach vinyasa is when we interlace our fingers, like behind our back for Humble Warrior or on our shin for supine twist. And one leg, I'll keep the grip. But then on the other leg, I'll say, put the other thumb on top. Okay, so there's a way that's comfortable for us, or even, you know, for half moon when your hands are interlaced. So just simply changing the grip, changing the fingers, other thumb on top, sends a message to the brain that, oh, this is a little bit unfamiliar. So all of these examples are great ways to, you know, pause or hearing it a little bit differently to help create new neural pathways, which starts the shift. And I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but I'm also a health and wellness coach, and it takes 21 to 30 days to change a habit. You guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not overnight, right? And so if somebody really wants to make change, whether it's to their diet or their fitness routine or their life working with their coaching or their asana practice, it takes that amount of time for the brain to change over to create a new habit and get out of the old one. And it takes concentrated effort and engagement and reminders and consistency of doing this new thing over and over and over again until it becomes a habit. So I thought that was quite interesting as it pertains to this piece. All right. So there's a lot of information in this section, and we'll spend a little bit more time on it next week. But before we get on to our coach session, if everyone can turn to page 168. So this section talks about the principles of change, and there are four principles of change. And you can just read through those, and we'll talk more about those next week. But number one, change begins with the recognition that you are the author of your own story, right? So we've been using that language from day one. You're the architect of your own story. And then the third paragraph down, you may attempt to project an air of confidence while being in doubt at deeper levels. This incongruence is detectable by others, whether consciously or not, and affects the way they will respond to you. You are always teaching others how to respond to you. So it ties back in with the earlier conversation when Nikki was sharing her UBS with her cheesy UBS, quote unquote, with her friend on the playground. And then she went and worked on it and shifted it. But if you're not able to stand strong and convicted in what you do, in what your UV statement is, people will know, they'll feel that energy, the same thing in a yoga studio. I see it in new teachers all the time, and believe me, my first class was painful, it was ugly, it was just not something publishable, right? And so we've all had those moments, but the stronger we get, the more energy we give off of that air of confidence, of congruency, of being connected with our heart and our mind. And so it's a great parallel to yoga. And with one more example here before we lead into Coach the Coach, would anyone like to speak to this piece of something they've experienced in the yoga studio?
I can speak to it a little bit.
Great.
Yeah, because, you know, since I'm the manager here, I hear feedback from the clientele about our teachers. And so, you know, we've had some pretty overt feedback about things like, can you please tell the newer teachers not to pretend to teach philosophy? They're like, I can buy it when, you know, Mel or Lakshmi or Ming does it, or, you know, some of the other teachers who've been teaching longer and they're teaching from an authentic place of experiential understandings. And, you know, the newer teachers tend to copy the more seasoned teachers. And the students totally vibe on that. And they're like, I can't swallow it from that person. It just doesn't feel right. And, you know, and which is, you know, sad, you know, on one level it's like, oh, but we want them to try, you know. But definitely the piece where, like, people can tell when someone's uncertain in the delivery, you know, that's definitely come across over and over again in the feedback.
I totally hear what you're saying, and I'm curious because we all have to start somewhere. So do you guys think it's a matter of being inauthentic or being inexperienced, or maybe a little bit of both?
Well, I think, you know, what I observe is there's a difference between intellectual grasp, the intellectual understanding of a concept, and the actual integrative wisdom of having lived and experienced that concept on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, you know, someone may think they understand, and so they try because they're enamored of the concept, whatever it is. And as they're trying to teach it, they may discover that they actually kind of don't know what they're talking about. And so it's, I think it's experience, you know, like having ideas versus experiencing really the ideas and sharing that experience.
Right. That's great. Thank you for sharing. Okay, we're about 1 minute past the top of the hour, so we will get into our Coach the Coach session with Cynthia coaching Anna and Mel being the primary observer. So if everyone else, except for Cynthia and Anna, would press star 6 or mute, ladies, watch your time and have a great session.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm great. Thank you. So what would you like to talk about today?
I don't have something in mind, actually, for today. I'm totally, I didn't even know that I've been coached today, so I don't have an agenda. If maybe by talking we can figure something out.
Okay, what would you like to talk about?
good question. Okay, so maybe, okay, I'm in the process of moving places and moving in with my boyfriend. And just coming back from Santorini and trying to do that as well, I'm a little overwhelmed. So that's kind of what is going on, how to manage better my time and kind of transition a little bit more smoother into real life and moving forward and all that good stuff.
Okay, so I hear you saying that you're in an area of transition. You're moving from one place to another with your boyfriend, and you'd like maybe to talk about how to manage your time better and how to ease into the transition with the move?
There's a lot of transitions happening because I was gone for 3 weeks. Now I came back to Athens and I'm trying to plan another transition, another move. So I feel a little bit overwhelmed with that. Yes, and I would love to talk to you about that.
Okay, great. Okay, so which topic would you like to talk about first, managing your time or easing into the transition?
I think managing the time would be something that I need to think about and figure out a way to do it. Because managing my time, I think, will help me transition better. So one resolves the other, I think.
Okay. So tell me about your time now. Why do you feel like you need to better manage your time? What's going on?
Well, for the past 3 weeks, I've been in a schedule that, you know, I had a very specific schedule every day. So I would wake up and go to teach for 9 hours, and then I would come back, prepare for the next day, and that was it. So I came back Monday, and since then, I've been trying to catch up my breath with going back to teaching regularly, and then trying to wash, clean, do all the daily stuff. And at the same time, the new teacher trainings are coming up in a month, and then the transition with the living in the new house with my boyfriend and researching for that new place. It seems to me a lot. So I went from a very structured environment when I lived for 3 weeks, and then I came in a little bit of a chaotic environment, and it's been a challenge the past few days.
Wow, it does sound like you have a lot going on, and yet you can talk about it in a calm manner. So So I think that's great. It sounds like you're at least trying to handle it well, and that takes a lot of courage.
Thank you. It seems though that there's not enough time during the day to do that, and I really want to maintain the, you know, the spirit that I had while in the teacher training, which was really, really peaceful, and but it seems that there's a lot of distractions, and by trying to manage all the other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So with everything that you have going on, you know, you've talked about, you know, finding a new house, you have a new routine, trying to clean and get prepared to move, your teacher training. So you have all of these balls up in the air, and I'm wondering if you've taken a moment to stop and think about, you may have all of these things going on, and you had your calm routine before. How would you like for it to look now with the additional things on your plate?
At this moment, because all of those, I'm trying to get everything organized before the teacher training starting. And I'm saying teacher trainings because there are two teacher trainings starting in two different cities, one in Athens and one in Thessaloniki, which is far away from each other. So I'm really trying to think the next 15 days to get everything done in order for me to have a more prepared foundation for the teacher training. So the move to be done and all that. So I would like it to, in 2 weeks, to manage somehow and organize my life before the teacher trainings start. So that's kind of my goal, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you need to do in order to organize your life in the next 14, 15 days?
I guess I'm trying to kind of, because finding a house and finding a new place to live and coordinate my schedule and my boyfriend's schedule has been a little bit hectic. So I think what I need to do better is probably try to set a certain time at a certain day that we're going to go and look for the apartments and houses and figure out. That would be helpful. That would be good instead of just randomly I say, oh, can you do it now or not now? Or, no, I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to get it in a specific time. That mm-hmm. would be very helpful. And we go and get to look places like 3 hours in a row kind of thing. That would be helpful, I think.
Yes, and it sounds like.
Yeah. Okay. Or even hire somebody to do that. You know, I've been looking over the internet and newspapers and stuff like that, but I think I might need an agent. I might need an agent. Now it's like, yeah. I might need somebody to do this.
I think that's a great idea. You know, something, you know, you can utilize other resources because you are so busy to help you get things organized and fit all of the activities that you want to get in before your teacher training.
Right, right.
So along those lines, what else can you utilize services or someone else to help you organize things so that you're better prepared for the teacher training?
Yeah, and to be honest, finding a place, now that we're talking about, I'm realizing that finding a place is not a decision that it needs to happen overnight, because we're going to be spending a lot of time there. It will be our foundation, and it's important that we find the right place. So I think I need to get off the horse of getting ready in the next 15 days because this stresses me. So maybe it's not the 15 days. Maybe it will take me a month and that will be okay, you know, because it's more important to find the right place than do it in a timely manner, I think. And I'm just realizing this now.
Wow. I think that's great. I can almost feel, you know, you've kind of lifted a little bit off of your shoulders and you've given your time space and you're accepting that 2 weeks is too much of a push and that it's okay if it be longer.
Yeah.
So that's really, yeah, that's really great. That's awesome.
Yeah, nobody's been right. Like, I haven't played. He has a place. I mean, there's no, I just kind of put it in my head that, okay, I need to this to be done and settled before a new adventure start, you know? But it doesn't have to, I guess. No, it doesn't have to. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have to.
So what else do you need to do before your teacher training? I think I remember you mentioning that there's some cleaning that's going on, preparing for the teacher training, and then adjusting to the new routine.
Do you want to- Sure. There is a lot of the work, the administrative work, I have to do. And right now, like people that are interested about the training, I'm not only teaching the teacher training, but I kind of play the administrative role as well. So people that are interested in participating, I need to communicate, educate them, gather their money and the registration and do all the sign up thing. So this has been a little bit because there is, as I mentioned, it's been happening at the same time. Month of November, the training starts in two different cities. Mm-hmm. And it's been overwhelming to try to get everybody signed up and ready for the trainings. So that's another, I have already kind of suggested to another teacher to help me with this. I'm talking to her about it, of taking off my shoulders a little bit of the load. And I think she might be stepping up and helping in the next couple of weeks as well. So that's, I'm truly hoping she is, because it's just been a lot to deal with that as well.
I think that's a great idea to get assistance from others, from another teacher to help you with this. It sounds like it will help you become more organized and deal with the emotional stress of everything going on.
Yeah. It's always like this before the training. When the training starts, I'm fantastic because I just teach. But when it's all the logistics and it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more work than I would like. So, yeah, I think letting go a little bit of the organizational control and training somebody to do some of the work for me will help me.
I think that's great. And as you know, letting go of control is an issue for many of us, and it's an important element of self-care to let go of things that aren't completely necessary. So bringing more self-care into your life as you're doing right now, I think will help you make this transition.
Yeah.
So ladies, we'll need to wrap this up in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Anna. So we talked about your challenges with finding a new house, preparing for the teacher training, adjusting to the new routine, and just preparing overall. And we've come up with two solutions to help you get adjusted and to target some of your worrisome activities. And one of those is to get assistance from another teacher to help you with the administrative tasks of the teacher training. The second one is to let go of the time commitment that you've set for yourself to find an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you dedicated to making these changes?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds it will bring me in balance. Mm-hmm. It will help me maintain my peace.
I think that's really, really great. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to discuss?
I think I'm set for now. Everything, yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. Well, thank you.
Great job. Okay, if everyone could come off mute, or at least Mel. Mel, are you in a place where you can chat, or are you still driving?
I am.
Our discussion, our feedback?
Okay. Well, first I just have to say that two lovely, very beautiful, lovely beings to listen in on. And I really just want to say that Cynthia holds the space with such a tender, kind, and spacious energy. And to me, my instinct is that is who she is. It's the beautiful quality that she already has. And I hope she knows she has it and to trust it because it's a gift. And she very nicely led into the conversation. And Anna was, you know, equally lovely, and she didn't have an agenda. And Cynthia was still fairly tenacious, just turned it right back on to Anna, and I thought that was fantastic. You know, what would you like to talk about? It was beautiful and graceful. And then, you know, Anna went on to share, and that was fantastic. I just felt like, you know, hopeful. Cynthia was really, you know, in line. She mirrored back what's happening, and she repeated what was being said and allowed a really great space. And in that space, Anna really did come up with, you know, her own kind of aha moment. So I just thought that was really, really beautiful. I felt like the conversation kind of came to a conclusion where it could have been possibly ended on very long. Okay, we got this. It's about making space and, you know, wrapping up something for that. And then we started to go on again in some of, you know, like the same issue, but a repeat. And that led me to kind of say that one of the things I heard Aunt say a few times is that she was overwhelmed. She used the word a few times. And it's a hot, that's a very hot, passionate word. But yet, Cynthia, you know, again, the spaciousness is wonderful, but didn't pick up on it. She didn't pull at it. So for me, I was interested to see, okay, you know, could we even take it another level if we would have picked up on it and got to the root issue? So it's maybe not, you know, what she's doing, but it's the how. Like, how can we get her emotional rootedness calmer, which, you know, her being quite a yogi, you know, I'm sure she could all come up with that on her own. So that was the only other avenue, and I thought that, you know, that might take the level of where spaciousness sometimes could be tentative or lack of confidence on the coach's part.
Great. Thanks, Mel. It might just be on my end, but I got most of what you were saying. You were kind of breaking up a little bit, so I just want to be clear. What path would you have encouraged Anna to go down more? Is it with overwhelm?
Well, yes, I think that it actually went fantastic. If I was into a deeper level, just with the root of her feeling overwhelmed, can we switch the how of how she's addressing all those actions?
Got it.
Which I think she was moving towards. So, but I just, great, like, you know, it's that the spacious and maybe a lack of confidence tentative on the coaches, which I think will come.
Great. Thank you.
Sasha, could you repeat? Because I couldn't really hear.
Yeah, same here.
I'll sort of summarize. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, Mel, if you don't mind, if I jump in, because I want to get everyone else's input here.
Yes, please.
And if so, what I'm hearing Mel saying is that she felt that Cynthia held the space beautifully and gracefully, but there may have been an opportunity that Cynthia missed in being a little bit tentative or maybe not aware of this overwhelm that Anna was feeling and to maybe dive deeper into that level of how is she working with this overwhelm in her life versus the tangible efforts that she's making to, make this overwhelm less overwhelming, right? So just taking it to a deeper level. Now, is that accurate?
Perfect.
Okay, great. Okay, Kia, I would love to hear from you if you're still with us and if you can speak. But let us know if you can't. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Who is speaking?
That was Nikki. I think she dropped off the call in the middle of the session.
Okay, great. There's so many on and offs, so I couldn't keep up. All right. So, Nikki, would you share your thoughts?
Yes, I unfortunately couldn't hear everything else said either, but I actually, the entire time, I just felt really impressed by Cynthia. I felt like, obviously I tried to put myself in her situation, like, what would I respond to? And I kept finding myself saying, like, oh, she doesn't have an agenda, crap, she doesn't have, and she just seemed this really lovely, like, that's okay, like, let's chat, what's going on? And I was like, oh, that's how you deal with it. So I felt like I just learned a lot, and maybe it is because she's taken a coaching course before, but I felt like she was really seasoned in creating that kind of, you're going to guide this, you're going to lead this, I'm just facilitating your own advice, And the one place where I felt like I thought that maybe we were taught a little differently, and I don't know if that's the case, but was towards the end, I kind of was waiting for her to commit Anna to something, whether it was, can you commit by next Tuesday or by whatever she's going to take to find your assistant. So I was kind of just waiting for that last little piece of committing her to something that she could follow up with. But that was it.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly. We're listening for the five steps of the Simple Coaching Model, and I had forgotten to have someone reiterate those, but that was a piece that was missing. And so we kind of maybe knew it, but we really want to get that client to be accountable for the actions that they're talking about in their session. Awesome insight. Minx?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. So I thought that Cynthia did an impressive job, actually. It was so smooth. and I felt, a lot of compassionate, encouraging on all kinds of levels, like the energy held, the words she chose, the questions and the way she phrased them, and allowing Anna her space to speak. But then there's also this efficiency and drive to, like, keep things, moving along, which I really appreciated. And I felt like that combination of the compassion, encouragement, empathy, and the directive of her questions led Anna to that insight of, oh, well, maybe I don't have to be so urgent. I'm looking at this wrong. I'm putting unrealistic urgency that doesn't need to happen. And I have actually had insight right now that getting the right place is better than getting it in the next 2 weeks. Like, getting it quick isn't as important as getting it right, was what I heard Anna's huge shift around the house. And that there's actually a similar shift that she's guided to, like, well, maybe, I don't have to do everything and someone else can help me. It was at that point where I felt like maybe a little more digging in could have been interesting, because at that point Anna's tone dropped. Like, yeah, that would be great to get somebody else. The uncertainty and the tone wasn't, that enthusiastic, like, oh my God, I don't have to get this place right now. So I was curious to, to hear more about, like, why was that tone in Anna's voice shifting to, and that would have been interesting to pursue. But, here we were at the 15-minute marker, so maybe that would have evolved. And Yeah, and then I agree with Nikki, which is it would have been great to hear some kind of specific action step. Like she did ask her, are you dedicated to making this change? Anna said, yeah, it sounds great. And, you know, maybe something like, well, what would be your next baby step that would be something you could do in the next 24 hours to follow up with that teacher who might assist you or to, you know, whatever. I don't know what it would be.
Great.
But,
thank you.
Yeah,
you guys
learned a lot. I was just going to say I also learned a lot from listening to the interaction.
And that's why I think these coach-to-coach sessions are so powerful. Of course, the feedback is unparalleled, but we all learn from listening to each other. And I'm just so impressed with all of your listening skills because you are tuning into every note that I'm taking here. So great job. Anna, how did that feel for you?
I felt extremely supported. It was beautiful that there was enough space for me to think. Almost at the point that I was, okay, I think I got it. Almost it was too much at a moment, does it make sense what I'm saying? There's enough space for me to think about what I was sharing and possibly find a solution. And at the certain moments, I felt a little bit uncomfortable at not knowing what to say further. So I think overall, I felt really supportive, and she kind of led me through to understand what I am and bring me present and see very, very clear where I what I needed to change. And I just felt that the timing between us talking, it was a little bit longer, and it felt a tiny bit uncomfortable because it was a big gap for me. That's kind of overall a good session, though. A good session. I felt helped by it.
So, Anna, for my clarification, where is the gap?
Between asking the question and me answering the question, and then it was even a little bit more space.
And
like after
the part...
I finished answering the question or thinking about it, and then I would just wait. And then I just felt a little bit uncomfortable that I needed to say something or waited for a question. It was just like a few seconds. It wasn't a minute that it felt that way, but I think reiterating what I said maybe right after I said it or it would have been reinforcing kind of the things that I realized or she helped me realize.
So if I understand you correctly, the pacing sometimes felt a little off for you?
A little bit off. Not uncomfortable, mm-hmm. But a little bit off. Just that.
Okay. And so just to speak to that, because that can certainly be something that comes up with our clients as mentor coaches, is to have a conversation and to make those needs and make those needs known of what serves you, and then just maybe try to understand what that space means. Is there fear going on in there? Is there judgment? You know, what's coming up for you meaning anyone in general, when there's a little bit of silence, a little bit of space, and maybe paralleling that to other times in your life. Maybe you're on your yoga mat and the teacher isn't saying anything and just giving you space to breathe and be. What is it like? Our culture is typically uncomfortable in silence. So even though it may have been a nanosecond, I think if it's something that comes up for you, it's worth having a conversation with your coach or your client. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Cynthia, how about for you?
I think it was good. I was a bit, very aware of the time. So there was some pressure with time that probably hindered the conversation maybe a little. And the comments about going deeper, I was very much aware of that. But because it seemed to be, you know, we've got 15 minutes and we're talking 2 weeks, I really wanted to, like, target the time frame that she was talking about so that she could somehow get relief and find solutions that work for her during the two-week span. So that was my thought around that.
Great. Yeah, 15 minutes is nothing. I mean, it feels like a lot of pressure, but I also want you guys to do your best to wrap your mind around the fact that we're still practicing. This is building that muscle. We're practicing in these 15 minutes, trying to use the model that we've learned about and see if we can get those in. There, when you have time, it's like a breath of fresh air. It really is challenging to do this, and that's why I'm so impressed with how you guys are showing up for these sessions. I mean, you're really doing amazing work, and even though Cynthia may have left out the follow-up, I thought you did a great job with following the other four steps. And so next time, you're just reminded, oh, yeah, I've got to really get my client to commit to a follow-up statement, a commitment that I can check in with her for next week. So I know we're over just a couple minutes. If you guys have a minute, I just wanted to share that I thought it was just a great dance between Cynthia and Anna. It's so interesting how something came of nothing. And like Nikki sort of panicked, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to talk about if my client doesn't have an agenda? This is a magical example of somebody's off their speaker. So I'm on echo, but hang in there. I just thought it was a great example of bringing something from nothing and using just very powerful questions, very specific questions. Cynthia did a great job of distilling it down further and further and just broke it down into some chewable pieces. The only thing I would remind you is to discourage you from leading with a why question. Like, why do you need to manage your time? There's so many other ways to phrase it. I like the concept, but stay away from why. And I thought you did a fantastic job of acknowledging everything that Anna said. Great summary. And again, just the follow-up piece is the only thing that I felt was missing. So there you have it. 5 minutes over, extra 5 minutes, bonus. So let's just go over the OM work real quick. To please read page 57 and the related articles, which are on page 257 and page 265. That's the reading. This is all in your syllabus if you're not writing it down. The other piece is, just check in with how your intuition serves you when you're working with your clients, and also revisit your SMART goals and just check in with what has changed, if anything. Okay? Thank you, beautiful people. I so appreciate your time and your energy. Let me know if I can support you in any way, and I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you, everyone.